Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Well, it's a problem that we've talked about on this show with emergency responders before, and that is a shortage of emergency responders, especially in the fire service. Well, there's a new effort. There's been a couple of efforts to recruit people in, especially into the unpaid fire service, including offering college tuition and property tax abatements. But there's a new one in our area, which has been proposed, developed by the Munhall Number 4 Volunteer Fire Department. Chief Dan Reutis is on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Jason.
So tell us a little bit, first of all, about the community that Munhall Number 4 Fire Department serves.
Yeah, so Munhall Number 4, we're one of four volunteer fire departments in Munhall. We're located on Main Street, right on the business district there. We provide fire suppression services and rescue services to the citizens of Munhall and our surrounding community.
And how long have you been involved in the fire service?
I started whenever I was a junior firefighter at 16, so it's been 18 years now.
Okay. What changes have you seen in terms of personnel and person power in the fire service? Because I know everybody right now is kind of recruitment has become the it used to be fundraising was the number one job, and now it seems like recruitment has been the number one job.
Yeah, it's been a steady decline over the past 20 years or so. It hasn't really changed necessarily all that much. It just has gotten worse. It's just very difficult to bring new people in. Everyone's busy. Everyone has other stuff going on. We see a lot of two-parent, you know, both parents have job households, so the free time for anybody is at a minimum. So that's really the biggest thing. It's tough to get people in and get them committed.
And this may be another big assumption, but I think people travel a lot farther to get to work now, so they no longer work where they live. And, you know, they might be driving to New Stanton or Cranberry or Monroeville every day. So when the pager goes off, they're nowhere near the fire hall.
Yeah, yeah, that as well as, you know, especially in our area, we see a lot of shift work. So guys
sure.
are working on the mills and stuff like that. And so when they weren't at work, they had a lot of availability that may have been during the day or in the evenings or even overnight, depending on what shift they were working. And now there's a lot less shift work in the area with the mills not being here anymore. So that's taken away a lot of people, specifically with daytime availability.
But we're talking with Dan Reutis. He's chief of Munhall Number 4 Fire Department. And later on, we're going to be talking with Senator Nick Pisitano about a joint project that the state is working with Munhall Number 4, but Senator Pisitano will tell you the credit goes, as he said, to the fire company for coming up with this idea that we're going to discuss here in just a moment. Before we talk about the idea, approximately how many service calls and structure fire calls does your department run in an annual year? Round numbers.
In total, we're up to almost about 400 calls a year.
Okay.
That's gone up significantly over the past 18 years in my time, and even going back, we've looked at some of the books that we've found from years past, you know, in the 80s and stuff, they're running maybe 50 calls a year, and we're up to almost 400 now. Now, part of that is that there's a more of a reliability on mutual aid, so we do run calls into Homestead, West
sure.
Mifflin, McKeesport, Duquesne, but that's just a sign of the times, and that's the fact that everyone can't efficiently handle all of their own calls all the time because we need more people, and everyone has less people as an individual fire department. So mutual aid numbers have increased significantly.
What are some of the strategies that the Munhall Number 4 and I would guess the other fire companies in the borough have used to recruit new members? What are some of the sweeteners that you've offered in the past?
To be honest with you, we haven't really offered too much,
okay.
Especially different than what most other people have to offer. CCAC has what they call the Fire Vest Scholarship,
yep.
Which is a great opportunity to get an associate's degree, or I think it's up to maybe 62 credits. It doesn't necessarily have to be a degree program, but you can get that at 100% free tuition and books paid for, which is a great opportunity. But we haven't seen too many people take advantage of that. It hasn't necessarily been a huge recruitment tool for us. And I, from talking to other fire chiefs throughout the county, it seems that that's kind of the same thing. I don't know if there's a way that, we as fire departments could better market that. But yeah, it's been tough, to say the least.
Well, and I know a few fire departments and a few municipalities, I think there's a program where you can get a property tax abatement if the local school district and the local municipalities all agree to it. But it seems like that's had a slow adoption rate as well, much like the Fire Vest program.
Yeah, for sure. You know, our municipality has yet to adopt anything, as most have. That's no fault of them. It's just, you know, a lot of these communities are already kind of strapped as it is, which is why we're in this position of having volunteer fire departments and trying to figure out how to make it work. And then also, you know, the school districts can incentivize the program as well. However, school districts are in the same boat. I'm on the board for Steel Valley School District, and you know, it's for us to go and offer a tax incentive program. While it's awesome for the community, and there's a lot of thought, you know, among school districts that it necessarily shouldn't be the school district's responsibility to incentivize volunteer fire departments, but but yeah, some are starting to take advantage of it. But even then, it's on a small scale. You know, talking maybe $500 a year or something like that. So it's something better than nothing. But it's not enough to really move the needle too much on our situation.
For the commitment of the training and answering the calls that someone in the fire service has to do. Chief Dan Reutis is with the Munhall No. 4 Fire Department. So let's get into this. What was the idea that your fire company came up with that you took to Senator Pisitano?
Yeah, so I can't take full credit for coming up with the idea. There are some other fire departments in the area, not too many, few and far between, that are doing things like we're doing, specifically the program that we're doing. We kind of modeled after Ross Draver Central, who was lucky enough to receive a federal SAFER grant, staffing and fire. I can't remember exactly what the acronym stands for, but it's a grant under the Assistance to Firefighters grant that deals with recruitment, retention, and hiring of firefighters. So they had this program in place. We kind of just modeled off them, kind of scaled it back a little bit because the dollar amount was significantly less that we were working with. But basically what it does, it's kind of a two-pronged approach here. We noticed that daylight hours are the worst for us. We don't have a ton of people who are available during the day, so we wanted to increase or improve our response capabilities during the day. Even if we couldn't necessarily get more people, we wanted to decrease our response time. You know, fires nowadays burn significantly different than they did in the past, so the faster we can get a fire truck on scene with people who are able to start making a difference, it changes the outcome significantly. So the way we're combating that is we worked with Senator Pisitano to secure the funding here to have one firefighter in the station. Originally, it was slated to be Monday through Friday during daylight hours for a stipend of $80 per day.
Okay.
And then thankfully, once we knew that was going to happen, you know, we went to our fire department internally and said, hey, they're funding one, and can we match the second one? And thankfully, the membership was on board, and we were able to do some fundraising and stuff and secure the funding ourselves through some fundraising efforts there to have a second firefighter also, which is a huge difference. One is good, but two is great. Three, four, or five would be even better, but we'll take some baby steps. Well, so that's half of the program there. That's really the biggest part of the program is having those two guys in the fire station on daylight hours. And then the second part of that is trying to just incentivize firefighters to respond any other time of the day. Just generally speaking, they're going to get $10 per call for every response that they have. And that's any time of day. And that is also that program runs concurrently with the daylight staffing program. So if somebody's working daylight and getting their $80 stipend to be at the fire station, they're going to get the $80, and then plus for every call they'll run, they'll get $10 extra. So there's some opportunity there for them to make some decent side money. But really it's a tough thing because we're trying to not actually have employees, you know, right. So everyone is a 1099.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some FLSA rules about how it can work, and the guys and girls can't make more than 20% of what a career firefighter in the area makes. So we use McKeesport, for instance.
Sure.
You know, what their salaries were, and kind of found the middle point of that, and then compared that to make sure we're within those rules. So so far we're 2 weeks in now. Things have been going great for us. We have some real data already at this point to show that it's making a difference. So yeah, we're happy about it. Things are going great.
We're talking with Dan Reutis. He's chief of the Munhall No. 4 Volunteer Fire Department. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with Senator Nick Pisitano about this very same experimental program that they are working on that hopefully, as Senator Pisitano will tell you, could be a model for some other fire companies to emulate. You mentioned, Dan, that you got the idea for this from something similar down in Ross River Township in Westmoreland County at Ross River Central Fire Department. Are other fire companies using similar kinds of incentives to encourage people to volunteer?
There's not too many in Allegheny County.
Okay.
But I know for a fact that Berkeley Hills Fire Department was able to secure the same grant through FEMA.
They're up in the North Hills of Pittsburgh.
They're a Ross Township fire company. Yeah, and they're doing a similar program also, again, funded through FEMA. But I don't know of too many who are doing things, doing things themselves at a local level that's funded through either the fire department or the municipality.
Now, how long is the state funding for your department?
So the goal here, it was budgeted to get us through the end of the year.
Okay.
Depending on how that plays out, it may extend a little bit further. I think we're probably a little bit over budgeted for what we'll end up needing. I mean, hopefully we're not, and we see the increase in turnout, and we see more firefighters coming in and get recruited. And if that's the case, then if we run out sooner, the better. We definitely have enough money to make it through the end of the year, which then becomes my challenge to find how do we fund this moving forward, whether that be sort of trying to get the FEMA safer grant or approach Munhall Borough or try to secure some funding from some outside private entities or something. But we definitely don't want to see it end come the end of the year. However, obviously money's tight, so.
Well, you mentioned you're on the school board, and I know a lot of the local city and borough councilmen and some township commissioners, and I know some townships and boroughs have put a fire tax on, but that can be unpopular politically when people see their property taxes go up, can't it?
Yeah, obviously, today's climate, nobody wants to see their taxes increase, but every community needs to put their own emphasis on their own fire protection and decide what's right for them. In some places it may not be right.
Mm-hmm.
And they may say, hey, we're happy with the services we're getting. And then others may say, we want more, we want a better service. And we, someone like Mount Lebanon, who does a great job, their ISO class one fire department, they do fantastic things there. But those fantastic things cost money.
This is no knock on our friends in Mount Lebanon, but it's a little bit of a different situation than Munhall or Braddock or Swissvale or McKeesport or White Oak or some of the other communities of the Mon Valley, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So they're paying. Everybody there is paid. They also have a volunteer program as well that supplements their career staff, but primarily the things that allow them to get to their ISO Class 1 certification and do a lot of the great things they do are because the people are being paid to be there doing it.
We're gonna keep it just for a couple more minutes, but I wanted to jump back to something you said. Chief Dan Reuters is with the Munhall No. 4 Fire Department, and they are working with the state on this program to basically, honestly, you mentioned payment and you don't want employees, but to me it's almost like a reimbursement for the expense of someone being at the fire station or responding to the calls rather than a payment. It's kind of a thank you reimbursement almost for their time. You mentioned response time, and you also mentioned the ISO ratings. What does response time mean for people literally in your homeowner's insurance or in your renter's insurance when you're paying for your fire insurance? What does that response time do to your insurance premiums?
So the insurance agencies use a process that's called ISO that fire departments have to go through to certify what level they're at. And it's a review process to see how good is your fire department, how good is the water supply in your area. There's a couple different pieces to the pie there. But then they assign a rating to every fire department. And if your fire department in your community is poor or you have a bad water supply or any combination of the things,
you're a long distance from the fire station, you're a long distance from a hydrant, all kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah. They look at those things and that will certainly affect your insurance rating.
A final thought before I let you go, give me a commercial for why someone should join their local volunteer fire department.
So your local fire department is so much more than just the fire department. There's a lot of camaraderie there. There's a lot of friendship and great things that happen in the fire department, and we do so much more than just fight fires. We're making differences in people's lives every day, whether it be kids that are out walking down the street that are stopping in to do a tour of the fire trucks and climb up in the driver's seat, and the smiles on their faces are huge and they're having a great time, and the parents love seeing it, taking pictures, or whether we're going to schools and talking to kids there and doing things. So while it is a huge commitment in terms of training and certification and stuff like that, the other effects and lasting effects that they have on the community are huge, and feeling that sense of accomplishment and pride is huge. So if you're even remotely community driven, there is an opportunity for you. And most fire departments have opportunities for people who don't want to go run in a burning building. So if you have any bit of free time and you're looking to help out at all, whether it even be fundraising or anything like that, there's so much that goes on in running a fire department. There's an opportunity for everybody.
Dan Reutis is chief of Munhall number 4 fire department. Thank you, chief, for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you for highlighting some of the struggles that we have in the volunteer fire service, and we appreciate you giving a quick oversight of what we're doing here with this program.
When we come back from this next break, we're going to talk with State Senator Nick Pisitano. He's going to explain why the state got involved in this project and why he hopes it could be a model for some other fire departments to emulate. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
There is a new program that is being piloted at the Munhall Central, or Munhall Number 4 Volunteer Fire Department, and on the line with us right now is State Senator Nick Pisitano to talk about it. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Before you were a senator, you were a state representative. How long have you been hearing about this crisis of basically people, not enough people to go around in our local fire services?
Yeah, I mean, it's a known issue that we've been trying to look at from a number of different perspectives for a number of years. And really, every community, every volunteer fire company has kind of a different take on it because the health of their fire company versus their next door neighbors may be very different. The needs of the communities that they serve could be very different. And so there's not really a one-size-fits-all approach, at least from where I sit. And since I've been in office as both a House member and now a member of the Senate, we've tried to work with the fire departments directly to see what their specific needs are and try and meet those needs, whether that was equipment, like air packs or helmets or any of those kind of things, or if it was training materials, or if it was a new truck. Everybody kind of has different needs, but they all share a common need, and that they need more people, right? There just aren't enough as many volunteers as there used to be in the fire service. That number has declined every year, probably for the last 30 or 40 years. And so the people who do volunteer their time to protect our communities in the fire service are stretched thinner and thinner. And actually, what we see in some places is we have young men and women, in high school or college that join the fire service and are available. And then once they settle down or they get a full-time job or they have a family, they kind of are pulled away from the fire service because they have other priorities now, right? And then, once their kids grow up a little bit or they're a little bit more independent, they might come back into the fire service. So there's actually a cohort based on age that is the biggest gap. And so we're trying to figure out how we can keep those people or make it easier for them to stay in the fire service. Because, at some point, we're going to have to face the reality that a lot of these volunteer fire companies won't have enough people to respond. And then you fall down a very slippery slope of homes that do not have adequate fire service coverage, which causes problems with insurance, to say nothing of the risk to life and property. And so we're trying to look at this problem in a bunch of different ways. meet the needs of the individual volunteer fire companies and see how we can be helpful to support the fire service.
There have been a number of incentive programs that have been tried from the state level, from the Commonwealth level, for the local volunteer fire departments. But there have been a number of incentive programs. I know there is a property tax relief program that is available on the school district level that school districts can. There have been educational incentives offered to go to community college if you are a member of the fire service. What is this pilot program that you have worked on with to pilot in Munhall number 4?
Yeah, and I just want to be clear, this is number 4's program. They are the architects of this. They are funding this. And when you talk to Chief Reuters, he can talk to you a little bit more about why they thought this was the best fit for their company in particular. What we did was, after talking to the chief and some of his line officers, we were able to secure some state funding to supplement their efforts. They are doing a pilot program to pay stipends for folks who staff the firehouse during the daylight hours where there are fewer volunteers available because most volunteers have a full-time job. They're also trying to incentivize some of the folks who have competing priorities. If you have a family or children or you own a business or whatever, it's a little bit harder to go on fire calls or leave your family, leave your business. The stipend hopefully makes that a little bit and gives you a little bit more added incentive or a little bit more of a payoff to participate in a call. And the chief can go into more details about that on why he thought that was the best fit. But the state grant is to supplement number 4's efforts to set this program up. They're going to collect a bunch of data through the rest of the year, see how this program works. And then they'll have, a good set of data to make decisions on whether or not they thought it was beneficial, if it helped with fire service coverage or not. And then hopefully we can take that data and extrapolate on what the next step would be. So it's part of a pilot program to gather that data and see if this is a model that works for Munhall number 4. If it does, maybe it would work for other volunteer firefighter companies in the area. And, we can go from there and see what the next step in this process would be.
We're talking with State Senator Nick Pisitano about this pilot program that was created. Let me throw a difficult question at you. We don't have volunteer police departments. Is the model of having a volunteer fire department, has it outlived its usefulness? And is at some point, is this something that the state, county, and municipalities are going to have to start transitioning towards more of a paid model?
So there are paid fire companies, of course, in the city and the city of McKeesport. There are certain areas that do have professional paid firefighters around
hybrid
the clock.
Departments too. I think Swissvale has a hybrid department. Mount Lebanon, I think, has a hybrid department. Yeah.
And from my perspective as a state legislator, I don't like to tell any one community or any group of volunteer first responders what they should or shouldn't do. I think the needs of the community and the firefighters themselves should come first, and they should decide what works best for their company or their community. Some of them might have hybrid. Some of them might be interested in more of a professional model. Some of them might like this kind of stipend idea where it's just enough to keep the volunteers that you have and you need going and involved. And my perspective is I want to support the fire companies no matter which path they decide to go down. I don't want to enforce kind of a top-down approach to the fire service. The problem with, forcing from the top down is you're not necessarily as touch with the local community and the needs and all that. But you also see within the EMS community and even the policing communities, public service jobs are already very difficult to. Even the ones that are full-time and paid are already hard to get folks into. And so I don't think a one-size-fits-all approach is the right way here. And that's why as an elected state official, I've always tried to listen to the chiefs and the line officers and the firefighters in each of the various locations and provide them what they're telling me they need to do their job, keeping us all safe, rather than trying to mandate one approach versus the other. I think that flexibility is what we need because certain geographic areas need a different kind of fire service. Certain communities need different types of services. So we want to be responsive to what the community needs and not have a top-down approach.
Well, let me flip the script upside down and come back at you because I have seen one statistic that says that volunteer firefighters provide an economic impact across the country of $47 billion, that's with a B, dollars, every year in all 50 states. So flip the script. I mean, they are providing a tremendous economic benefit to our state and to the country.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it is a certain special kind of person that runs towards the danger and towards the fire when instinctively we are all taught as children to run away from danger. And so we need to do as much as we can to support those folks. And that, again, I keep going back to the same script, but my idea is to support them on what they tell me they need. And making sure that they're safe and they have the training and they have the economic incentives, whatever those things may be. It's not a one size fits all solution. It's providing the fire service and the folks that participate with the supports that they need so they can continue to do their job to keep us all safe. And we'll continue. I will continue to work with the fire chiefs and the local communities to do whatever we can to make sure that's possible. It's undeniable, though, that the fire service provides an asset or a financial impact that's almost incalculable to our local community. And so we don't want to have a fire service that is not functional, doesn't operate, or, you have gaps in fire service coverage in certain areas. That's not the road we want to go down. So we want to make sure we're making these investments.
But from your point of view, from the state's point of view, what sorts of things will you be looking at to see whether this is the kind of a program that can be adopted at other volunteer fire companies across the Commonwealth?
Yeah, so we want to see the data from this program. And, the goal was to have it up for as many months as possible this year, so you get kind of a mixture of different type of events. Obviously, the storm that came through to this week was, hopefully a once in every couple years kind of storm. We're not going to see something like that, but hopefully again this year. But we wanted to have data from a number of months that you could compare the winter, the spring, the fall months all together and see if the program is working. Zooming out a little bit, the state is currently starting negotiations on the state budget. And part of that includes a new competitive state fire grant through the state fire commissioner's office, again, to drive more state dollars towards the fire companies that are doing all the right things and making sure that they have the assets and the support that they need. I know that Governor Shapiro and Lieutenant Governor Austin Davis have been heavily invested in the fire service and making sure that the service, both professional and volunteer, has what they need to do their job of keeping us all safe. And so as the state budget process plays out over the next couple months, I'm hopeful too that those programs are included and that we have additional funding available for the volunteer fire companies.
As a legislator, as a senator, you are looking for these kinds of ideas from local emergency management agencies, local fire agencies, it sounds like, and you'd like to hear more creative solutions to this decline in the number of personnel available to the emergency services, correct?
Yeah, well, we're always open to ideas. I mean, most of it comes down to funding. And of course, there's always a give and take on whether or not there's enough money for certain things. But it's my tenure, I can only speak for myself, but my tenure in the state legislature, I've been able to secure everything I've been asked for by the fire service. And so, whether it takes a year or it takes a couple months, we've always been able to go and get that money for folks. At the end of the day, the money is secondary to the people. You need to have the people that are willing to spend their time and volunteer their time and run towards the danger to keep the rest of us safe. And you need to be able to have the supports in place that they can do that volunteer work, that very important volunteer work, without it becoming burdensome on their own lives, because they all have families, they all have jobs. So it's kind of a balancing act to make sure that they have the supports that they need and that we're able to still bring and retain people into the fire service.
Thank you so much, Senator Pistano, for taking some time to talk with us.
Thanks.
Also, thank you to Dan Reutis, the chief of the Munhall No. 4 Fire Department. You can reach them through their Facebook page, Munhall 4, or you can call them at 412-464-7324. And thank you all for listening this week to Two Rivers 30 Minutes. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.